Alors, on pourrait commencer avec André, quelques mots.
Bon, c'est pas compliqué. Quirol travaillait à peu près depuis 10 ans pour essayer d'avoir un taxi équivalent à tout le monde. À Montréal, on veut un minimum de 30 délais. Au Québec, on veut un service équivalent à tout le monde. Pas de taxi, pas de touristes. Parce que la pierre angulaire pour l'industrie du tourisme, il faut que le taxi soit disponible pour les touristes qui viennent dans nos régions. C'est vraiment la chaîne du transport qui est très importante. Isabelle, elle va vous dire vraiment que ce qu'on veut, ça va prendre moins de temps et vous allez comprendre mieux. Merci.
I will take over from here. Basically, what our CEO was saying is that we definitely work hard on improving the accessibility of taxi in Montreal, but we also make sure that we work with other jurisdictions in order to understand how it can work and how we can make it work. So that is why we think it is important to, if you want to improve the accessibility of taxi, if you want to have new legislation, you definitely have to involve people with disabilities in and the aging population in your thoughts, in your reflection on what should be done. And to do that, we made sure that Kirol was part of the board of directors of the Montreal Bureau of Taxi, so that they don't just talk about accessibility without really understanding what it is, but with having people on the board that knows, that understand exactly what the need is. And then, as Michel already mentioned, we are also part of the advisory committee and the accessibility committee of the International Association of Transportation Regulation. Next. We have a slide that we put in there just for people that will maybe later on look at the PowerPoint, and just a reminder of what I'm sure people in this room already know, so I'm not going to go into details about how it is an active group of the society when we talk about people with disabilities and the 15% and that they basically need the same type of service that any other population wants. Next. But what we also have to realize is that we have mobility issues that are linked to many aspects of our lives, and that includes like just a regular living environment, but school, work, leisure, travel, the actual built environment, the streets, the sidewalks, but definitely transportation is a big key component. If you don't have transportation to go from point A to point B, then it keeps you from being active in life. Yeah, next. So what we see as the general transportation link is going from residence to your final destination. And definitely there are many aspects, including paratransit and train, plane, and all the issues that you can have in between. But definitely, if you don't have the paratransit, or if you can't use it because you're not qualified according to their criterias, or if the public transport is just too complicated for you to follow, then taxi is definitely a link that is needed for people that want to go from point A to point B in a faster way, in a more efficient way, And it's often a missing link. And if you don't have that link, then you're not going to leave home. You're not going to go to your destination. So in the transportation issues, as I mentioned, it's an essential function for economic and social life. If you want to go to work, if you want to be active, if you want to get out of the house, the public transport service, they have adapted or integrated service for people with disabilities, but they're not always easy to use. I know that I've used it around the world, and in some places they are very kind and they will get up and lift the seat up so that you can get into the bus and be comfortable, and they will tie down the wheelchair. And then in other cities, you're just left to do it on your own. So that will keep people from using that transport in some instances. With the taxis, some of the issues that we find is that it is definitely needed, but there is no actual legislation that is done in regions or in provinces or in countries. It's really left to each city or to each town to have their own legislation. And so that can make it a bit complicated because you don't have a uniform way of doing it. So you can be in the same city or in the same area and have a service that is not equal, because some will say you have to call 24 hours in advance. Some will say we have taxi available only on weekdays, or we don't have it overnight. We don't have it 24 hours a day. So there are some many issues with the taxi depending on where you live, and the type of the vehicle can be another issue. And people with disabilities, like any other citizen, definitely needs to use the service and want to use the service at the same rate, because that's another issue. In some areas, they will charge an extra fee just because you take a bit longer to get in the vehicle, because maybe you are part of the aging population and you use a cane and it takes you a little longer to get out of the house and get to the vehicle. So there are definitely issues with taxis. Next. So what do people with disabilities want? What do we, with some of the surveys that we did, definitely a quick and efficient service like anybody else would. We understand that some areas have less vehicles, or it's not as easy for them to convince the industry to have the number of vehicles that are needed. But if we could at least have it within a certain number of time, if we know ahead of time that it can be done within half an hour or within 15 minutes, then it helps us plan a trip, and definitely easier to plan a trip than if you always have to call 24 hours in advance, because we don't always know 24 hours in advance what we want to do. Secure installation, that's another problem. A lot of people say, I get in the vehicle and the driver is in a hurry, and therefore he's only tying down 3 of the 4 tie downs, or he doesn't put the seat belt in front of me, or simply doesn't have it in the vehicle. So that's definitely an issue that is very irritating for a lot of people. Safe driving. Taxi drivers, sometimes when they have the people in the tied down with the wheelchair, they think that's good enough and we're going to be comfortable and they can drive just any which way they want. And they don't understand that it is a population that often needs the driver to be a bit more careful of the way he brakes, the way he turns. We're not a package, and we're not definitely not as stable as other clients might be. So they need to adapt their driving. Also, sensitivity training for the drivers. Again, a lot of the drivers probably had the sensitivity driving at one point, or another, but some of them we think probably didn't, because they will not take the time to help the person that is elderly and needs maybe the elbow to help get in and out of the car, or they won't understand that you can be in a wheelchair and have a life and go to school and work, and that you can pay just like anybody else, and you can have leisure activities just like anybody else. Surprise vehicle inspection, basically because when you have regular inspections, let's say once a year or once every 2 years of the vehicle, then the drivers in between those times sometimes don't clean their cars that often, or use their car as a little business area, and there's stuff all over, and you have difficulty setting in where you're supposed to be sitting. So surprise vehicle inspections would definitely help making sure that the vehicle is in good standing at all times. Of course, people with disabilities would like to be consulted as to what their needs are, not just to suppose that you think or that you know what they need. And of course, their needs can change with time as well. So it's not because you consulted when you did a survey once that it's going to be the same all the time. Needs change with time. And you need to include all types of people, whether they have a visual impairment, whether they have a hearing impairment, whether they are elderly, people with intellectual deficiencies, et cetera, et cetera. And there's a need to think. We see more and more the possibility to pay with either an app or with Interact or ATM machine inside the vehicles. But too many times, either the app is not accessible for somebody that has a visual impairment, or if the payment method now, they think of putting the earphones so that the person that is blind and wants to pay can do it by hearing what buttons they're touching and things like that. But most of the times, these machines are attached to the back of the seat. And because they're attached to the back of the seat, I can't reach to pay. So it's good for the person that is blind. They thought of that, but they didn't think of me that can't reach that payment method. So it's definitely something to think about too. Next. So all of this to say that it is in accordance with the UN Convention on the Rights of Persons with Disabilities. There's on Article 9, it says that to enable persons with disabilities to live independently and participate fully in all aspects of life, state parties shall take appropriate measures to ensure their access on an equal basis with others to the physical environment, to transportation. So it is not just something that we want and that we think we need. It's something that is really recognized by the United Nations, and that is jurisdictions need to understand that it's not just for big cities, it's not just for certain people, but it's for everybody. Next. It is also in making transportation accessible, including taxis, is definitely part of the recommendation of the European Conference of Ministers of Transport, that is now known as the International Transport Forum. And what it basically says is that if you're, depending on what type of taxi service you offer, there is definitely a way of making sure that it is accessible to everybody. So if you're on, if you're mainly by a hailing on the street, taxis, it is all taxis should be accessible if it's by hailing on the street, and then if it's by calling, then it should be a percentage of the taxis that should be accessible. So understand again what basically this is saying is that We understand there is not one way of doing things, but there are definitely specific ways of doing things that can make it easier for everybody, depending on the type of service you offer. Right now, the situation in Canada, because we're a province in Canada, there is no federal or national regulation. There is a provincial regulation, but basically, it's really up to each city or municipality to decide on their own, what they do with the general recommendation. So you don't have the same service in Montreal right now. You don't have the same service as you do in Quebec City, which are our two main cities, and definitely not the same when you get out of the two big cities. We're hoping, we talk a lot about the American with Disabilities Act as being a good reference. And one of the reasons is they have a good sanction if you don't respond to the accessibility recommendation. And right now in Canada, we have a Canadian with Disabilities Act that is in the works. So we are hoping to get that same kind of sanction so that we can finally have service like we see in other cities and countries. Right now, in different cities in Canada, you have services that are offered and are very different from one province and one city to the other. In Ottawa, which is in Ontario, right now there's about 15% of the taxis that are accessible. There is a quick response. I tried it just 2 or 3 weeks ago, and they almost laughed when I called the day before and said, how long do I have to call before I can get a taxi cab? And they said, well, you just call us and we'll be there. And that's exactly what happened. And I even got a taxi right away. There were accessible taxis at the train station. So it's definitely a good standardization that they are doing. And I think it's because of the quantity of permits. In the city of Vancouver, to our big surprise, the minimum prescribed is 15%, but they actually have 21%. So that means they really understand that it is a need and it is being used. In both cases, I think the advantage is that they can do both regular clients and people with disabilities. So when they're not busy with people with disabilities, with people in wheelchairs, they can do other clients. And therefore, it makes it easier to convince drivers to have the adapted vehicles and that they will be, money will still be coming in. And they all have a company, they all adhere to their at least one company to make sure that they have requests for accessible taxis. So the other jurisdiction that we see in Calgary, it's 11% and it's about 15-minute wait time. I tested it after a concert, and I really did get the service quickly like anybody else would have, even though it was like a really busy time. In Toronto, they're aiming at one-third of the taxis to be accessible. They're not yet quite, we haven't seen yet how they're going to do it, but that's the plan. And, you see that we have a little bit of difficulty in Montreal right now. It's only 6.8% of the taxis that are accessible. There is no minimum prescribed yet, and most of the taxis are used by the public, subcontracted by public transit. So therefore, when we want to order a taxi for private reservation, it makes it a bit more complicated. Next. So what I said, we have no real resolution yet, but the taxi bureau did say that there will be a 30-minute service, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, coming up. it should be, it was about 2 years ago, right, that it was mentioned that it was going to be enforced. So we're just at the last board meeting, the director did ask them for specific timelines, and I think that's the key to making sure that something happens, is to ask for specific timelines on when it's going to be implemented and how it's going to be implemented. So the taxi in 30 minutes is, no matter the number of taxis, the regulation has to set the minimum service standard. We recommend that this 30 minutes should be good for all jurisdictions that has accessible taxis, not just Montreal. And So in the end, as you can see, that in 1975, the UN Declaration of the Rights of Persons with Disabilities, in 1994 was the first time that they talked about the importance of accessible taxi, and in 2006, the UN Convention of the Rights of Persons with Disabilities. So it is, we've been talking about this since 1975, so it's about time that we stop talking about it and we make real decisions. What we have for recommendation, definitely clear regulation, something that is understood by the people with disabilities, by the taxi companies, and so that we move ahead. Selection of appropriate vehicles, depending. We in Montreal have the side entrance. That's definitely what we prefer. A lot of people feel like the rear entrance. We feel like we're luggage, and we're afraid we're going to be hit and it can be hurt because we're at the back of the vehicle. But really, it's up to the city to decide on what is safer for that area. And definitely driver training, refresher course, so that they remember what they learn. And that should include secure installation, safety driving, and special needs description and services, understanding what people with disabilities and aging population is and what are their needs. And definitely a penalty if you don't do what you're supposed to do, if you don't have either to the dispatch company that doesn't respect the regulation or the driver himself on the availability or on any surcharge that is not that is being charged. And why not have a this money reinvested in making sure that those that want to become accessible have some money available to become accessible. So we should stop just waiting and relying on goodwill. And as the Montreal taxi industry once said, in a taxi industry, there is no action without regulation. So let's make sure we have a clear regulation going on. So any questions, you have the coordinates to reach us after this. Thank you.